friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. All the privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often fought faith. Oh, what needless pain we had. Oh, because we do not think to God in prayer. Heavy trials and temptation, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? With the Lord of care, do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Are we weak and heavy laden? Comfort with a load of care. Precious Savior, to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arm he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace.
Let's sing that song, I Bless His Name. Let's do what you can, brother, sister, from all of your heart. Let's bless His name. Amen. I bless thee. In praise, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed at night, and in their pain began to sing, and they rose, and they were free. I bless your name, I bless your name. I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name, I bless your name.
a midnight hour, if you shall find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out and praise, defies no chain, and they will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you honor, I give to the way. I bless your name, I bless your name. So if you find that in your life you're in the midst of time so hard, reach out by faith to heights unknown, and you will find you're not alone. I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name, I bless your name, I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name,
I bless your name. Any saints, we do greet you this evening, saints, in Jesus' name. Just really wish everybody happy Easter. Amen. It's a wonderful Easter. And if you've ever had an Easter in your soul, it's a wonderful thing. Amen. You know, the power of the resurrection, I really do appreciate it. Amen. Let's open our Bibles, Joel chapter 2. Let's continue on our thought of restoration from last night and so forth. We do appreciate this thought. I don't know, to me it's a real precious thought just at this time, in this season. And I just wanted this evening, by the grace of God, today and tomorrow, to take just the church, just to show how the prophet traces the fall and the restoration of the church. Amen. Now, I found it was really, the message, the prophet is really God's provided physician. Amen. For any disease, for any situation. If you get yourself in the message, so I'm just going to be reading from the Church Age book and the Seals book, just certain paragraphs. But just to trace how the prophet speaks about these bugs, you know, these Roman bugs that ate down the church. And how God restored. Because I'm sure you found it in your life. What happens to the church age is the same way that God deals with the individual. You know, he brought the church to justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, to adoption. It's the same process he takes an individual. It's the same as he'll take us as a church. You know, it'll be in the same in your family and marriage. All these patterns, you find that maybe the circumstances may be different, but you'll find they're all going to follow something in common. So if you can see the way that the enemy works in one of these spheres, maybe through the church ages, and the way that God restored his church, you know, you can apply that individually. And that's my thought today, just trying to take it to our church and to the individual, just to have a look at these principles once again of restoration. Let's just read Joel 2, 23 to 25 once again. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. and I will restore to you. The years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army that I sent among you. Yeah. The thing I love about that when he says, I will restore. Yeah. Restoration is the work of God. We have to cooperate with it, obviously. But there's a lot of things we have to do in order to allow the work of restoration to go forth. But if he doesn't draw near with the anointing of restoration, with the visitation of restoration, we'll never be restored. But when he draws near with the spirit of restoration in his appointed season, he's expecting us to cooperate with that anointing. And then he says, I will restore, saith the Lord. And obviously we've got to deal with the bugs as well. Now we've got to deal with all of the things that have brought things to where they are. Now you can't just go and say, let's put some more fertilizer, let's just put some water in the tree. You know, let's hope it'll sort itself out. It's not going to work. You've got to get rid of the palmer worm, the caterpillar, and so forth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Easter. Jesus, we think of 2,000 years ago upon this day that your body lay lifeless in the tomb. But Father, there was an I will restore the next day. And Father, the power of the resurrection made all the difference. And Father, we come unto thee upon this day, thankful for a resurrection of hope. Father, thankful, Lord, that inside of our souls at this season, we rejoice in Easter. Father, we're just looking unto thee. Bless your people upon this day that have gathered in your precious name. Father, your people gathering wherever they would be upon this night in different places. Father, be with your bride. Be with your people. Shut us in with you at this time. Help us, Lord, to fellowship around something, Lord, that would be hidden manna upon this night. Something, Lord, that would feed our souls. Lord, for you said, rise and eat to Elijah. You said, the journey is long. So help us, Lord, we pray. Instruct us, Lord. Father, you said your word is profitable for instruction, for reproof, for exhortation, Lord, to fully equip us as your servants. So, Father, help us, Lord, now just to lay aside childish things, Lord. And, Father, just to look in the full force of the mirror of your word. And, Father, may you minister grace unto the hearers upon this day. You said you would restore. Amen. Father, you are the one that restores our soul. Father, you are the one that's restored your church. Father, we look unto thee in this season for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. So we're just looking at this thought once again of, I will restore. I'll take it from the church age book. The prophet speaks of it in the resume of the ages. Now, the very last chapter of the church age book, if no one's ever read it, it's a really fantastic chapter because the prophet summarizes the entire work of God and the work of the devil through the seven church ages in one chapter. Now, he summarizes and brings it all together and shows the big picture of how the Lord built his church up through the seven church ages, how the enemy tried his best through Nicolaitanism, Balaamism, Jezebel, spirit, and so forth. But the prophet, he starts right in the beginning. This is in the church ages, page 366. He says, the birth of the church was at Pentecost. Now, so the church was born out of the will of God. It wasn't born of the will of man. Just as much as any genuine believer here today, you are born of the will of God. It was a spiritual experience. That's the way the church was born. The church wasn't born through creeds, through dogmas, through tradition, through form. It was born because there was a move of God. And God spiritually brought forth a church. There was a birth. It was a Pentecostal birth on the day of Pentecost. So that's how the church started. And the prophet says, as the first Adam was given a bride fresh from the hands of God. So whenever God does a work, so God, he births the church at Pentecost. And this church is fresh from the hands of God. Now the experience, like when you first received Christ, when you first had your spiritual experience in your soul, that you were born of the Spirit of Christ, you know, you were presented fresh. At that stage, the enemy hadn't done anything to you. Now, you were fresh work, a fresh new creation from the hands of God. And that's how the seven church ages started. The prophet says, fresh from the hands of God. He says, and the church was undefiled for a brief span. So if you go and look in the Bible, it didn't take long before these Roman bugs started working. The palmer worm, the caterpillar, the locust, you know. It didn't take long. The church was not undefiled for long. The church wasn't virgin for long. You know, it didn't take long for this antichrist spirit to start to work, because whenever God starts something, the devil's going to start working as well. Now, he wants to strip down. If God raises something up to bring forth certain fruit, be guaranteed the devil's going to try to strip it down so it doesn't bring forth its fruit. It's going to be the same in your life, in mine, same in our church, same in any group of people that God has brought together and birthed for His purpose. But it started off undefiled in the beginning, the prophet says. He says, Christ, the last Adam, being given a bride pure and fresh at Pentecost. And she remained separate and undefiled for some time. Then he quotes from the scripture in the book of Acts chapter 5 when it says, of the rest, no man dared join the church. So when the church was first born at Pentecost, nobody joined who God didn't want to be there. It was a real pure church at first. The Bible says that it says, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them. And then he reads Acts 2, the Lord added daily such as should be saved. So there was nothing really of man in it at first. God was adding daily to this church. There'd been the birth of this virgin move. Now God was at work. God had brought forth something to present to Christ. It was a virgin work. It was a virgin move. It was the work of the Spirit of God. It was an undefiled work at first. Now people were feared. Nobody wanted to join themselves to this particular work because it was so pure in the Spirit at first. But it didn't stay like that. The prophet says, how long this continued? We don't know. It doesn't tell us in the Bible how long the early church was in that virgin form. But it didn't take long. He says, but one day, even as Eve was tempted and seduced by Satan, so the church was contaminated by the entrance of an antichrist spirit. So the bug started to work. You know, here came the palmer worm. Yeah, and he starts to work. And the canker worm and the locust and the caterpillar. And he starts trying to find entrance on this work which has been born of God. You know, and he wants to defile this through the working of the antichrist spirit. And that's what he's going to try to do in your experience as well. He's going to try to do that in our church. He's going to try to do that in the age and the message of the hour. And he's going to be at work with the antichrist spirit, trying to defile this work that God has done. Amen. So the prophet says, he quotes a couple of scriptures. He says, but Jesus said concerning his bride in the first age, to the Ephesian church age, I've somewhat against you, because you've left your first love. So already in the first church age, this bug was at work. Already the church, and Jesus says to them, remember from where you have fallen. So already in the Ephesian age, the church was fallen. Friends, the devil is cunning. Friends, the devil is evil. He's wicked. He won't leave any virgin work of God. Anything born of the desire of heaven, Satan's never going to leave it on its own. That's why even if God starts to revive you inside of your soul, and God starts to work, the devil's not going to leave it like that. He's not going to leave you unmolested. Now you can't expect it's going to be plain sailing. You've got to put on the whole armor of God. You've got to gird up your loins. You've got to be determined and perseverant. You've got to expect, because the promise is to the overcomer, there's going to be things that you're going to have to overcome. So in this process of restoration, but the church fell, it got contaminated. The prophet says the church was in that first age already a fallen woman. My, imagine, straight from the hands of God. The perfect experience the church had at Pentecost, but it didn't take long before this bug started to eat at this work that God had established. And the prophet says, as Satan had got Eve, before Adam, now Satan seduced the church, the bride of Christ, before the marriage supper of the Lamb. So before the church could be presented to Christ, like Paul says, Satan got there first, and the church was a fallen woman. And then we know how this bug now started to work, and you know, Satan changed his tactics. He deceives the church in the first age, the white horse rider. Now he comes in the spirit of Antichrist. He dresses himself up in the religious realm. And then when he sees he's not fully overcoming the church in that age, then he gets onto the red horse rider and he goes the Smyrnian church age and so forth, bitterness and death. And he tries to persecute the church, tries to beat her down. You know, he's attacking, he's coming in every form that he possibly can to defile, to bring to a halt this which God has established. And although the church has fallen from what it was, it's still the church. It's still the bride. You know, God didn't go and look for another bride. God continued to work upon that bride, because that was the work of His hands. The same as you. If you're born of God, He's never going to let you go. No matter how the devil may try to persecute you, may try to defile you, may beat you down, he's never going to stop his work on you. He's always going to stay faithful because this is his work. This is what he himself has done. And then it comes on to Pergamos, and you know, you find this Roman bug. It starts getting power, and Constantine takes over, and you know, the Roman system takes over the religious realm. And this church, this bride tree, is getting eaten back and back and back. It's been persecuted, and now it becomes diminished in number. It becomes not what it was on the day of Pentecost. You know, we look and we see this bug is at work. No, the palm worm, the caterpillars, Joel saw this army which came amongst the believers. It was working and it was bringing things down further and further. And the prophet says, and this bug continued to work at this bride tree until Thyatira, into the dark ages. And then the entire system went into almost 1,000 years of dark ages. And this is the black horse rider, is what the prophet says. Now you can read it in Revelation 6. He got off his horse and he got onto the black horse. And he started to ride. And the prophet now, when he speaks about it in the seals book, he starts speaking about what does this black horse represent. It's on page 240 in the church, in the seals book. He says, now here is the mystery of this. He has started riding him in the time of the dark ages. That's what the black horse is. We know that. That's what the dark horse represented, the dark ages. So the bride tree goes into a dark age. It's dark. And listen how the prophet speaks of it. He says the dark ages, for it was a time of midnight to the true believers that were left. My. Now you and I would never expect in our experience to go through those times. But as God allowed his church to go through, he allowed you to go through it. Amen. You'll go through those times where it seems the devil has the preeminence. Because in the dark ages, it really looked like the devil had the preeminence over the church. Satan was ruling everywhere. He had defiled everything. There was just a small remnant that was left. Oh, it came right into the dark ages. Now, like I said, don't forget the way that the church ages goes, the same way that you go as a believer. Now, you'll go through this same cycle, a cycle of revival and death and revival once again. That's what had to happen to the church. So the prophet says, watch now in the church age, the middle church age, Thyatira, the dark church age. He said to them, you have a little strength. They got to a stage, they've been beaten so far down, they only had a little strength. They didn't have the strength they used to have before in the beginning. This bug had been at work, it was eating them down, and Satan got them right to the place in Thyatira that he thought, I've got them now. They'll never rise from this dark midnight condition that they're in. Oh, friends, how many times have you been like that? You know, like we said, you know, son of man, can these dry bones live? Now you look at somebody's experience, you look at the condition of somebody's spiritual life, and you'll think to say, but hey, this is a dark period in this person's spiritual life. But friends, if God is the one who's planted, he says, no man will pluck it out of my hands. I will water it. I will watch over it night and day. Doesn't matter, it may be eaten right back down like the church was in the dark ages. But there's coming and I will restore, saith the Lord. There has to be an eye roll because this is God's planting. So he says, it was midnight to them for the true believer. Practically all hope had been taken from the true church. Friends, I can associate with that, and you can too. The church got to a place, God's planting, that almost all hope had gone from the believers. They could look back to what it used to be before, and they could see how this bug had got them to where they were. But friends, in their own power, they could do nothing. They had to wait for Jehovah's appointed season. In that dark ages, I think it was from where the prophet gives, I think it's from 9 something up to 1520, or from, you know, it's a long, it's almost 900 years of dark ages. The church was in its midnight hour. The prophet says it was a midnight time. He says, all hope, for this fellow controlled both church and state. So this Roman bug really thought, I've got them now. This which God established, it's never going to achieve its purpose. Friends, he looks at all people like that. He looked at Samson like that one day. And he thought, I've got him. He's never going to fulfill his purpose. But friends, to the elect, the hair will be restored. The seven locks will be restored. It's a matter of time. You can never keep the elect down permanently. You can't. You may go through your dark ages, friends, but you're going to come up on the other side. You're going to come up on the other side. He says, watch. That's the reason he was on a dark horse. Watch what a dark thing that he did. Friends, there was darkness all around. Now the believers are looking, trying to find some hope, some consolation. It was like Job on the ash heap. Friends, Job was sitting there not understanding why he had to go through the things that he was going through. He had been stripped down until he looked and he says, but what does this mean? Oh, friends, but then there came the prophet says, the vision of Easter. When the Lord opened up the heavens and the seal opened of restoration. And God showed forth the vision now. And he stood up and the thunders roared and the lightning flashed. And he said, I know my Redeemer lives. The prophet says he saw Easter. He saw the resurrection. He says, though the skin worms eat this body, yet in this flesh I shall see my God for myself and not another. Oh, friends, it's at those dark hours. That's when Jesus comes on the scene. In the dark age of the church, Jesus is going to come on the scene. His Joel 2 is going to start to kick in. I will restore, saith the Lord. But it had to come to the midnight hour for the church. And there was a reason, there was a purpose for that. The prophet even gives us the reason. He says, why? He speaks of it in the message. I've heard, but now I see. He says, that critic saying to me, why would a God of mercy who could open up the Red Sea stand by and let them poor Christians be eaten by the lions, burnt and everything, allow the church to go into the dark ages? He says, the prophet says, the poor ignoramus. And did he not know that except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone? So just as much as the bridegroom had to be cast into the earth and die, and he lay there in the tomb and it looked at east like there was no hope anymore. But that wasn't the end. That was the beginning. Friend, the same as the church. It was born at Pentecost. Then it had to be cast into the ground and die. It had to go through the midnight hour. It had to lay there and rot. Certain things had to die. Was that the end of it? No, that was the beginning of it. That was the real beginning of the I will restore, saith the Lord. Because the church has to fall in the ground and die. The prophet says it had to die through those dark ages. And friends, when we go through these dark ages, God is trying to get us to die to certain things. God is purging us of certain things. God is allowing us to go through spiritual persecution. He allows us to go through spiritual barrenness and unfruitfulness at times to bring a certain condition inside of our souls that we may approach Him the way that Hannah approached Him in the temple that day when she says, this womb is not ordained to be barren. Surely, Lord. Surely, Lord, you can visit me as you visited Sarah of old. Surely you can visit me like you visited them of days gone by. Surely, Lord, I am ordained to bring forth fruit in this age. Her womb was aching because of the condition. And friends, that's exactly what those dark ages do to you. They put you in a spiritual condition inside of your soul that you just want to lay there and say, Lord, without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I can do nothing. But Father, there's a deep inside of me that's responding to a deep in heavenly places. I believe this isn't the end. You will know this isn't the end because God is not an Indian giver. The Bible says God never starts a work. A painter paints half a painting then throws it away so that it wouldn't make any sense. He says, God doesn't invest. God doesn't birth something for His glory. Let it go into the dark ages and leave it to perish in the dark ages. No, there'll come His appointed time when He will step down and say, okay, Satan's had his chance. Now it's my turn. And He will say, I will restore, saith the Lord. But He's the one who has to restore. I can't do it and you can't do it. All the church can do is respond to the anointing, the prophet says. When there is the anointing of restoration pours forth, when you sense it in heavenly places that God wants to restore, God wants to do something, just yield yourself. And whatever He says that you're supposed to do, go and do it. If he says, go and make this right, go and make it right. If he says, separate from this, let's separate from those things. If he says, this needs to be resolved, let's go and resolve those things. That's God's process of restoration. We just have to cooperate with him. Because he said, I will restore, saith the Lord. So this is his heart's purpose. This is his heart's desire. He wants to restore his church. He wants to restore the individual life of a believer. God won't leave it lying in the grass. The prophet says the masterpiece. He says he'll always come down to start to work on restoring it once again. That is the nature of God. And friends, that is the hope of a believer. That is where a believer places their faith. Not in who you are, what you can be, but on who he is. And friends, the power of a grace covenant. Because the church was born at Pentecost under a grace covenant. This wasn't a covenant of works. This was a grace covenant. This was a covenant where God says, I will. He didn't say, if you do this, then I'll do that. But he says, I will restore. Friends, that's a grace covenant that. And friends, we should just surrender ourselves to this grace covenant. Say, Lord, just work your will. Work your wonderful will in and through me. So the prophet speaks about that and he says, now how it had to go through. He says, like any other corn of wheat, it had to die through those dark ages. It had to go beneath the earth and be buried to bring forth the first reformation. Them two blades of Luther. Now that's how it had to come up. We know that. Friends, that there was a little green shoots showing that restoration was in process. Like when Samson could feel on the back of his head. He could feel something's taken place. He didn't yet have his full power back. He hadn't yet got dominion over his enemies. He hadn't yet taken vengeance on those things that had put him in the condition that he was. But he could feel divine favors coming back. The hair starting to come back once again. And what did the hair stand for? Was the covenant. It was the Nazarite vow, the Nazarite covenant God made with him. That was a sign of the purpose to which he was born. He was born to start to deliver Israel from the enemies. And though he had let God down, God never gave up on him. God allowed him to be shaved. God allowed him to be blinded. He was in darkness for a season. God allowed him to grind away in the prison house for a season. But then God came to him there. And God says, I will restore. And the power was restored. And greater was the victory in his death than in all the days of his life. And friends, he took vengeance over his enemies that had put him in that condition. That's the way that God worked with Samson. That's the way he worked in the church ages as well. It always goes like that. It was at midnight time, the prophet says. Now listen, in Revelation 2 verse 24, if you want to read it, listen what the prophet says about it. Let's look at the scripture says, Revelation 2. Look what it speaks about the dark ages. It says, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I'll put upon you no other burden. So the church went right down into the depths of Satan. This was Satan doing his deepest work that he could do upon the church. Friends, it went that far down. And the Lord calls it the depths of Satan. I think the prophet speaks of that on page 240 as well of the seals book when he speaks about the depths of Satan. He says here, oh no, he just says it was a midnight time. It was the time of the depths of Satan. But friends, God said now, okay, Satan, you've had your chance. You've taken the world down to the depths of Satan. The prophet says, God now said, I will restore the church to the depths of God. And the church went from the depths of Satan through the work of restoration, and God took the church now all the way into the depths of God. Friends, that's the contrast that happens in the life of a believer. Friends, sometimes Satan will seem he's got you so far down in the depths. But God has a turning point in the life of every believer. There comes a certain season where God says, now's the turning point, as it was with Job. And God draws near and God starts to do something. And you can look back and you can say, from that time, something started to change. There's always a from that time to a believer. And if you're spiritual in your soul, you'll sense that season. You will say, this is the season. No, this is different. There's something happening in heavenly places. I may not yet see the full results with my natural eye. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. the evidence of things not seen. So you will see a full restoration because something's declaring it to you in your soul when as yet you haven't seen it unfold itself in the natural realm just yet. But to you, there's something declaring itself. There's something declaring itself to you to say, this is the season. This is the turning point. This is the time. Satan's taken us into the depths of Satan, but now God wants to take us into the depths of God. That's what he did to the church. And the believers started to sense inside of their souls that God wanted to do something. You know, God wanted to take the church at that midnight time. Because that dark ages had fulfilled its appointed purpose. So that was the first four church ages. The middle one, Thyatira, was the dark ages. Now the last three ages are the ages of restoration. Now comes Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. And God starts now the process of restoration in his church. And he says to bring his church back to what she was at Pentecost. Why? God doesn't restore and do a half job, friends. When God restores, he restores. The prophet says it's not a resurrection, it's a restoration. That which it fell from, he's going to take it back to that once again. And friends, that's why I love it, because he says, I will restore, saith the Lord. I will restore. And like I said, obviously, yes, there's things we're going to have to do to help the keep the atmosphere right, to get the obstructions out the way, to do whatever we need to do as God leads us step by step, like he did the church on the way to restoration. He started to deal with Luther and says, you need to get these things out the way. And they got rid of the idols from the church and they allowed the priests to start to marry and so forth. And they started to realize that, no, we don't need all these councils of men and so forth. That's the word. That's all that we need. And then he started to deal with Wesley and holiness came back in. And God told, you need to separate from this and you need to separate from that. And then God brought the next stage and he continued the work of restoration. He brought the gifts back in and so forth. And friends, we're living at the consummation of the age where our inheritance and our promise is a full restoration. A full restoration of all that the church lost. That's what he's promised to the believer in this age. That's what a restoration is. And until we have that, we don't have our full inheritance. The bug is still doing his work. We've allowed him to eat at this. We've allowed him to eat at that. But God at a time, he said, enough is enough. Let's start to deal with the bugs now. And God started to deal with the Roman bug that had put the church in that condition. My, because it was God's season of restoration. Just as much as he'll deal with you in your life. He dealt with Samson. Samson knew exactly why he was in the condition that he was. When Samson was just being a happy-go-lucky, carefree guy out there, he never considered deeply the things of God. But when he was taken captive in the fetters of brass, and when they took out his eyes and put him in the prison house, and when he was grinding away, he considered his ways. He considered his ways. David says, I thought on my ways. And Samson maybe searched his soul and searched his life when he looked in that condition and he felt and he says, but surely God won't abandon me in this condition. Amen. And like the Jews say, like I've said, the Jews always say the way that it was noted in the scriptures that his hair grew. Everyone's hair grows. There must have been something noteworthy, something supernatural about the way that his hair grew. And the Jews believe that the rabbis, they say that his hair grew in proportion to his repentance. The deeper he repented, the quicker the hair would grow. And friends, it's going to be the same as you and I. Remember the prophet says the church can't lay on its face in repentance before God until God starts to restore, until God starts to send quickening power once again into the souls of his people. And Bartleman in the book Azusa Street says, God gave me the keynote. He says, early in the revival, the keynote to revival, he says, the depth of revival is determined by the depth of the repentance of the people. Amen. He says, it's an exact proportion. The revival is as deep as the repentance of the people. And that's exactly what the prophet says. So there must have been a deep repentance in the prison house because the revival that came to Samson was a full revival. It was a full restoration of all the power that he had lost. So you can tell there must have been a repentance that moved heaven. There must have been something moving and working in the soul of the man as the man considered his ways. I like that film Samson, when Delilah comes to him and comes to him in the prison and wants to be so close and tender to him once, and he throws her away. And he says, "Lord, I thank you that you took away my eyes. Because when I had eyes, I looked at the wrong things. But now you've taken away my eyes so that I can really see." Now he could really see things the way that God wanted him to see things. And that's when God started to restore the power. And that was the time that his hair started to grow once again, when he was in the prison house. Now the good thing about this, although the church goes right down into the depths of Satan, look in verse 6, Revelation 2, verse 6. The prophet says that he wants to show us the good part of it now. Verse 6. Sorry, Revelation 6, verse 6. Is that the one? Let me find my scripture. This is the fourth seal. We're trying to have the black horse rider. Revelation 6, verse 6. That's the one. It says, "And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" So when the church had got right into the darkness, when the devil had come in and he was charging for all salvation and all those things in the ages, there came forth a voice, the prophet says. Listen to what he says about this. He speaks about it in the seals book. He says, "Now notice, here is the good part now. See thou hurt not this wine and oil. Just a little bit of it left there, but don't you touch that." You see that? The church got to that place. The devil thought, "I'm going to snuff out that oil." And the voice didn't come from the four beasts, the prophet said. The voice came from the throne. This was the Lamb. And the Lamb says, "Hey, you don't touch that oil and that wine. You've gone far enough. You can't go any further." And friends, that's what he does. There comes a season where the Lord will say, "That's enough. Stop. It's my turn now. You've taken things far enough." And that's what he did in that age. The prophet continues to speak about it. He says, "A measure of wheat for a penny." But then the Lamb cried out right among them and says, "But don't touch the wine and the oil." He says, "Oh my, listen to it. Don't you hurt it, boy, or you're going to pay for it someday." The Lamb threatened and told those bugs, "That's enough. You can't eat the tree down any further. And you're going to pay for it one day." And to the believer, friends, you determined in your soul that when the bug has come and eaten down those virtues and those things that you once had, you'll be praying in your soul and say, "Lord, if you just give me one more chance, like Samson, let me take vengeance upon these enemies. Just give me one chance to take vengeance upon these enemies." You can't do it in your own strength. But God respects that kind of a prayer. Then when Samson said, "Let me die with mine enemies," when he was willing to pay the price to die to those enemies inside of his life, that's when God came down. That's when God came down and the power of restoration came to visit the soul of the servant that God had raised up to do that job. So the prophet speaks about it in that age. He says, that's the good part of it, was the Lamb. Right in the dark ages, he says, "That's enough." And then he started to turn the things around from there. And then he starts to say, "I will restore, saith the Lord." That is the power of the intercession of the Lamb. Listen to what the prophet says about the cycle that it had moved into. This is from the depths of Satan to the depths of God. The prophet speaks of it in Church Ages 2:57. He says, "But fear not, little flock. God said, I will restore." And this reform, Luther, was going to be the start of it. You see, there has to be a starting point. He was going according to his promise to take the church back from the depths of Satan in the dark ages to the depths of God that they had at Pentecost. Friends, that's a wonderful thing to a believer. When you really think of what your virgin experience used to be, when you think of what you were when you were freshly born of the work of God, when you were presented straight from the hands of God in the days of your youth, God says, "I will restore." He says, "I'll restore. It doesn't matter what the palmer worm's done. Doesn't matter what the caterpillar's done. I will restore, saith the Lord." The prophet says, from the depths of Satan, back to the depths of God that they had at Pentecost and the first few years of the existence of the church. That was the promise of God. And friends, that's the same God today. That's the same God who's dealing with you, and that's the same God who's dealing with me. That's the same one who called you, and that's the same one who called me. He's never changed. God will never compromise with our sin, friends. He's going to deal with us on every one of those sins that we need to be dealt with. That's the purging that we have to go through. But God says, I will restore. I'll bring it right from these depths, and I'll bring it right back to the place that it was supposed to be. And that's how we said it last week from Jeremiah chapter 29, when the Lord said, when they were going into captivity, and Jeremiah came and prophesied and says, you're going to go into the Babylonian captivity like the church did in the Thyatiran church age. But Jeremiah said it in his dark ages of the church. The prophet says the church ages in the Old Testament started with Solomon, because that's when the Shekinah glory filled the temple. It was the same as the day of Pentecost to this temple. Then he says, but it didn't last long there. Soon Solomon lost his first love. And he started to love all these strange women and so forth. And it didn't take too many generations until that work that was started by God. There was Jezebel religion in control. That was the dark ages of the Old Testament church. And then they went into the Babylonian captivity. They lost their inheritance. But while they were there, Jeremiah had said, there's going to come a time that you're going to seek me. And you're going to find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will restore you back to where you were before you went into captivity. That was the promise that he gave. And Nehemiah now started the restoration. He was the first move that came out of Babylon. He was like Luther. And to show it, it's exactly a pattern of the Bible. Sardis, the prophet says, means the escaped ones. They escaped from Babylon. And if you go and read Nehemiah 1 verse 2, Nehemiah went to inquire of them that had escaped. Amen. And went to Jerusalem from the captivity. Those were the escaped ones. But there were still breaches, and things weren't restored to the place that God wanted them to be. And Nehemiah now started to take it upon himself to confess his sins and the sins of his people, and confess that they hadn't listened to the voice of the prophet. And God came down and anointed him and gave him favor before the throne. And the king now issued a proclamation and gave him all the resources that he needed to get the process of restoration started once again among the escaped ones, the children of the captivity that were down there in Jerusalem. And then what happens? Ezra comes, it's holiness. He comes, you're not allowed to marry this, not allowed to marry that, separate from this unbelief. That was the next stage in the restoration. Then what happened? Elijah came. John the Baptist came. And then what happened? Christ came. That was the consummation of the Old Testament church ages, when Christ came to his temple. Elijah had to come first, and then Christ came. The prophet says that's the seven church ages of the Old Testament. But they had to go through their dark ages. They had to go into a captivity to be purged of some of the idols, to be purged of some of the things where they weren't listening to the prophet and so forth. And when they were in captivity, they learned the lesson. And then they started to seek God with all their hearts. God visited them after the 70 years captivity. God visited. There was Daniel discerning and sensing in his spirit that the season had come, that surely God is going to bestow his favor once again on his people here in Babylon. And he starts reading the promises of the prophet Jeremiah. And he starts saying, God's not going to abandon us down here. God's going to restore us back once again. That's what the prophet said. And he starts seeking the Lord. But how does he do it? He starts in prayer himself. Personal confession before the Lord. I and my father's house have sinned against you. We've done that which is evil in your sight. Oh Lord, you are righteous in your judgment. You are righteous in your ways. Unto our God belongs mercies. And he starts pleading the promises of God. And God sends down Gabriel and breaks open the seal to show you're going out of here. So I'm not finished with your people. 70 years. 490 years are still determined upon your people. Friends, it's a wonderful thing when God really, really does those kind of things. It gives hope to his believers. Let's just take one more thought here from the church ages. So we trace it through now. We trace the restoration starts off in Luther. The prophet says that was those two shoots. Because this is like God, the seed of corn has fallen into the ground. It seems to have died in the dark ages. that's been covered over, like we said last week, in this great winter. But then springtime comes to the church once again. And God now says, I'm going to start the process of restoration. And then God starts to shine forth the spring sun in a measure upon His church once again. And from that seed that people would have looked at and wondered, can life ever come forth from this once again? It can, because it was planted by God. You find the two blades, the prophet says, started to come up. Oh, friends. It won't take much. When you start seeking the Lord again, you'll start to see those green shoots of recovery once again. You'll start to see the blade. You may not yet see the full ear of corn in your experience. But you'll start seeing certain things. God will try to encourage you along the way. Amen. To say, this is the season. Seek me now. Seek me with all your heart. And the prophet says, that's what it is. And then it came through to Wesley. And then it came now to the Laodicean church age. Now we'll come on to the Laodicean church age. We'll finish with this thought. The prophet says, church age is 377. This is in the resume of the church ages. He's speaking about our age. He says, this age started just after the turn of the 20th century. As it was to be the age in which the true church would return to being the bride she was at Pentecost. So friends, that's our inheritance. We know that. That's our commission. That's our call. That's the promise to us. That we've got to be fully restored back to what the bride was at Pentecost. That's what the restoration was to do in our age. He says, this is the age for that. He says, we know that there must of necessity be a return of dynamic power. So God will have to visit His church. Now, friends, we can't manufacture these things, but that's the process of restoration. If restoration moves, that's a part of the restoration. God will return dynamic power to His people once again. That's what the prophet says, and then we believe it. The prophet says the believers, this is at the turn of the century, sensed this in their spirits and began crying out to God for a new outpouring such as was in the first century. That's how it always starts, friends. You start sensing something in your spirit. Those people, if you go and read the Welsh Revival and so forth, they sensed in their spirits. Before anything actually came forth, before anything actually turned in the age, but they started to sense inside of their spirits, God is willing to do something. God wants to do something here. God wants to take us further. God wants to restore to a greater measure. And those people that were sensitive at that time, they started to get into intercession before the Lord. They started to lay themselves before the Lord. The prophet says they started to cry out to God for the restoration. They sensed inside of themselves that God was willing. But before God sends the blessing, He always gets His people praying. He always gets His people to come to a certain spiritual condition. And part of that process, it's repentance. We know that. Because when you really start praying, He's going to start to show you certain things you need to deal with in your life. And it's not going to take you any further down the process of restoration until you deal with those things. And then if you deal with that, then He'll take you further. As you lay yourself on your face before Him, He's going to start to show you exactly why you are in the position that you are. And that if wanting to rise from that position, this is what it is that needs to be done. And He'll show you one thing at a time. And if you just walk humbly before Him and you're obedient one step at a time, He will restore. And He'll fulfill every one of the covenant promises that He made to His people. Because I am the Lord. I change not. I'm not. The Lord says, I'm not a man that I should repent. He's not a son of man that He should forget His promises. God is so faithful to His promises, friends. And when He called you, He had a desire when He called you. He had a purpose when He called you. When you were born fresh from His hand, there was a place that He wants to get you to, a place He wants to get me to. And friends, though we go through the dark age, but He comes and I will restore, saith the Lord. The prophet says the believers sensed this in their spirits and began crying to God for a new outpouring such as was in the first century. And what seemed to be the answer came as many began speaking in tongues and manifesting gifts of the Spirit. So God restored the gifts. They thought it was the full restoration. It wasn't. But it was a restoration. It was the restoration of the gifts. You know, God wanted to bring those gifts back in. He wanted to kick them back in once again. And His season came. And those believers sensed it inside of their spirits. And they started to seek God and yield themselves before the Lord. And God released an anointing now. God opened something up to the church which moved things on once again. And God restored those things to His church. And then we know how the prophet explains, maybe you look at it tomorrow, that where they made their mistake, they thought that was the latter rain, but it wasn't the latter rain. This was just a quickening of the church. The people thought at that time, the prophecies, that was the full restoration and the final quickening to the rapture. But it wasn't. It was a mighty move of God, a wonderful move of God. But it wasn't the final quickening to the rapture. That's our portion. That's the bride's inheritance, the final quickening to the rapture. That's what's stored up for the sons and daughters of God. Now he says it on page 379. What about the true seed? You're speaking in Laodicea about all this false seed that went forth. He says, but what about the true seed? What will happen to the true seed in Laodicea? He says, it will happen just as we have said. The people of God are being made ready by the word of truth from the messenger of this age. So God had to send Elijah. God had to send the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of His children once again. God had to bring the original seed back again. God had to bring the restoration of the word back. But for a purpose. The prophet says, in her will be the fullness of Pentecost. Our friends, that's the promise to us. In her will be the fullness of Pentecost. For the Spirit will bring the people right back to where they were in the beginning. That's the restoration. It's the same as you in your individual life. The Spirit will bring you right back to where you were. If you and I have learned the lessons of captivity, there's no more need for being in the captivity anymore. He can now take us back to where we were before we went into the captivity. And He can move us on now in our inheritance. I believe that's where we are, friends. 100% I believe that's where we are. The prophet says, that is thus saith the Lord. The Spirit will take the people back to where they were in the beginning. That is thus saith the Lord. He'll bring you back to where you were. And the prophet says, it's thus saith the Lord. Why? Because that's what Joel chapter 2 says. He says, Joel 2 says, be glad then, ye children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For He has given you the former rain moderately. So you had this experience in your youth, the former rain. You had a spiritual experience of quickening. You had a birth. You had something that launched you on the way to your adoption. Then you went through your dark ages. You went through your purging time. He says, there's coming a latter rain. Amen. It's the latter rain that takes us in, friends. The former rain starts the work, germatizes the seed. And then you go through the dark age. And then He comes and says, I will restore. And springtime comes once again. And God pours forth the latter rain. It comes then finally to the harvest season, which is the time of the latter rain. So the prophet quotes that. He says, and the vats will overflow and so forth, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. The prophet says, now, it says, God is going to restore. The Lutheran age did not restore the church. It started a reformation. The Wesleyan age did not restore. The Pentecostal age did not restore. But God has to restore, for He cannot deny His word. Amen. Friends, God has to restore. Amen. He cannot deny His word. Amen. That should be such a promise to a believer. No matter what your spiritual condition is today, God has to restore, because He cannot deny His word. It's thus saith the Lord, I will restore, saith the Lord. It doesn't matter what the palmer worm's done. Doesn't matter what the caterpillar's done. We just need to squash those bugs. And the Lord says, I will restore, saith the Lord. All the years that this palmer worm and this caterpillar worked. Because God cannot deny His word. The prophet says, I will restore. God, He says, this is not a resurrection, it's a restoration. God will take the church right back to Pentecost of the beginning. God will. And I believe it. The same God who dealt with you and brought you forth from denominationalism. Same God who brought you to the message. Same God who turned your heart. Same God who delivered you from Laodicea. It's the same God who promised, I'm going to take you all the way back to Pentecost. And friends, we'll never be satisfied with anything less as believers. We'll never. Will you ever be satisfied in your experience with anything less? I'll never. Everything else is we just know in part, but you're waiting for that which is perfect. Everything that's gone before is just preparatory. It was to purge and to prepare and to chasten and whatsoever. But God has His promise. He says, I'm going to take my church all the way back to Pentecost. And friends, to a believer, that's our inheritance. What the church had and has lost is our inheritance. And He says, I'll take them back. The prophet says, God will take the church back. He says, notice in verse 25, Joel 2, it tells why we need restoration. The locust, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm had eaten the bride tree down. That's how we need a restoration. And then he continues on. He says, but that poor little root and stalk, that's all that was left in the dark ages. Just a little bit of a stalk, just a little bit of a root. But the predestined life was still in the seed. Amen. And the devil thought, I have got this. This will never rise again. And God says, it's enough. Amen. Now it's my turn. Amen. And God breathes the breath of restoration upon that seed. And that seed started to come forth in the Reformation. And it continued on through holiness in Wesley. Continued on through the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Then he sent Elijah. Then he says the promise of the latter rain now. To bring the church fully all the way back. He says these are the Antichrist spirit. Now listen to what he says. God isn't going to plant a new church. But he's going to bring his original planting back to the original seed. God doesn't plant a new church. He didn't do it in the churches. He's going to bring his original planting. If he planted, he's going to bring it back to what it was. That's what the restoration is all about. The prophet says he's doing it as stated in verse 23. The former rain or the teaching rain. Next will come the harvest rain or rapturing faith. Friends, we can't manufacture that. We've received rapturing faith in a measure. He's quickened us from the dead. We've received the power of the resurrection in a measure. But friends, in your soul and mine, we know there's a lot more than what we've received. There's something inside of us that desires far more of the depth of God than we've ever received. And we may have gone right down, and that Satan thought he had brought us right down to his depths there in the dark ages. But God says, I'm going to take them right from the depths of Satan, and I'm going to bring them all the way back into the depths of God. And that's what a believer would be seeking for in this age. I really do believe that. And the prophet continues on. He finally finishes off and he says, we speak about this being the age where the Holy Ghost is poured out again. He says, it's not to say that Luther wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. Or Wesley, he says, they were, the individuals. He says, we're not talking about the individuals or the people, but the age. Luther had the Spirit of God, but his age was not the age of full restoration. By another outpouring like at the beginning. Same with Wesley and Booth and Whitfield, Edwards, Muller, etc. Surely, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, yes. But the age in which each one lived was not the age of restoration. But God has put us in the age of restoration. And friends, we know that. And He's done something in your soul that you know. That His work that He does is perfect. The prophet says, neither was any age but this last age the age of complete blackout in apostasy. So this is the age of restoration, full restoration. And this is the age of full apostasy. That's what the prophet says, it's the most difficult of all the ages, but it's the most glorious of all the ages. He says, this is the age of apostasy. And this is the age of restoration. It is the age of the finished cycle. With this, it's all over. Oh, friends, so God works in cycles. So the church had something in the beginning. Then it went through a cycle and went through death. And then God kicked the cycle in and brought it back to what it was in the beginning. That's the prophecy, is the cycle of revival and death. The prophecy is this age and only this age is the age of complete apostasy. And this age and only this age is the age of complete restoration. And friends, inside of our spirits, let's seek His face. Let's call upon His name. Because God so earnestly desires to fulfill His word. I do believe that. And all He's looking for is His people to move as He breaks open the seal of redemption like He did to Luther. As that seal opened and that dark horse thought, I've got this age. God broke that seal at that time. And here came an anointing from the throne, that anointing of the man. And it came, and what the devil was trying to do, God in His appointed time, His appointed season, He broke forth a revelation. He broke forth an anointing from His throne, one of those four beasts, sent it down right into that age of the depths of Satan and kicked things back again. And there was a turning point. And God started to bring His people back all the way from the depths of Satan. And He brought them right way to the depths of God. May God do it for us, friends. Like I say, God deals with the individual and the church in exactly the same way. The way God dealt with the church ages is the way that He deals with you and I. God, what He did to His church in the church ages, that shows His desire for you and for me. So let's seek Him while He's near. Let's call upon His name while He may be found. Let's stand, saints. Let's just come to a time of worship and a time of prayer. We're living in the age of the finished cycle. We've been through a certain cycle for a while now. And friends, I would just believe that it's God's time to turn things around and to start another cycle. And God will quicken things in this age of restoration. Original life is good, right?
The original seed, the original word, it's what I believe, the Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original life. Original sin, God's attributes were manifested to His bride in this last age. We have called the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord. The original light, the original light, the original seed, the original word, it's what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled. The original light, the original seed. We are the Word made flesh today. This is what the Scriptures say. And our names are seen within, redeemed and cleared out of sin. Yes, we are the anointed and inspired by our God. To see the original light, the original light, the original seed, the original word, is what I believe. The Son of Man, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original light, the original seed. Our eyes of understanding, He has opened up at last, and sweet victory is ours. We were chained down in the past, true to believe has sounded, and we have responded to our goals. The original sin, the original word. It's what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seventh seal is unveiled. The original word. The original sin. We are called to adoption, full of authority and power. Sleeping saints will wake and join us for translation in this hour. Gentiles' day will soon be over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God, who's the original light, the original light, the original sin, the original word. It's what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seventh seal is unveiled. The original light, the original seed, the original light, the original seed, the original word. It's what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seventh seed is on them. The original light, the original sin.
Some ancient words, brother. Ancient words, eh? Ancient words. Yeah.
Ancient words, sister, yeah? Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us go. In this world, wherever we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come, we open our hearts, O Lady, ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, hear the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, the ancient words impart.
You know, the prophet says the believers, they sense it in their spirits and they started to cry out to God.
Amen.
Let's sing that song. We cry out your name, El Shaddai, God of grace. And let's come to a time of prayer this evening. Let's pray for tonight. Let's pray for the saints that aren't here. Brother David, he couldn't make it tonight. Other saints, wherever they would be. And let's pray for service tomorrow and communion. Pray for yourself. Pray for restoration. Say, Lord, we're thirsting for you. Let it be done unto us according to your word. Sit on your throne of grace. It's only by your mercies we are saved. Lord, you have said, if we call upon your name, we and our families will be saved. So we cry out your name, El Shaddai, God of grace, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ, we rely on your grace. Adonai, crowned in praise, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ. Father of love, never failing to forgive, each moment is a gift from you to live. We're only here to tell the world about your grace, until the day you take us all away. So we cry out your name, El Shaddai, God of grace. Put ourselves before the Lord before we go, saints. Let's pray for just for His grace at this Easter time. We so do appreciate the Lord for Easter, that He died for us, that He paid the full price for every blessing of redemption. And this has come at Lady's feet, even as Ruth came to Boaz. And let's make our claims upon Him at this time. Whatever the Lord's laid upon your heart, let's put it before the Lord. Let's pray for one another in Jesus' name. Father, just coming unto Thee, Lord, upon this day. How grateful, Lord, and how thankful that we are, that you've given us an opportunity, Lord, even in this Easter time, to look unto Thee and to call upon the name, Father, even upon this evening, Lord. Father, just such a needy people that we are. How we do it, Lord. Let's just sing that song. Touch your people once again. We ask Brother Wilmore, wouldn't mind come to close for us in prayer. Let's sing that song once more. May the Lord grant traveling mercies to everybody and meet you tomorrow, grace of God. True love for each other we have had, so many big but empty words. So we come before your face, asking for your grace. Take your people to a state of fruitful life. Restore your church again. Touch your people once again with your precious holy hand. We pray, may your kingdom shine upon this earth through our living glorious church. Not for temporary need, no, but to restore authority and power. Let your mighty rushing wind blow in. Touch your people once again. Lord, you see your tired servants, broken, wounded soldiers. Oh, how much we need your precious healing hand. We need the power of the cross. That's the only source for us. When we stand up, Satan's final battle cry, restore your church again. Touch your people once again, oh, with your precious holy hand. Kingdom shine upon this earth through our living glorious church. Not for temporary, no, but to restore authority. Your mighty rushing wind blow in. Oh, touch your people once again.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus,
yes, Lord,
for the word tonight, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You are indeed a merciful God.
Yes, Lord.
And your mercies, they are new every morning, oh
yes,
God.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
How
yes,
many
Lord.
Opportunities, Lord, that you have given us, Father,
oh, Lord. Yes,
to
Lord.
Come back unto you, Father.
Amen.
Lord, and we are so thankful.
Amen.
That continually you keep confirming thy word.
Oh, Lord,
even looking, oh Father, at the stories that happened long ago, Lord.
Amen.
Seeing the temple that Solomon built being filled with glory.
Amen.
And Lord, soon after, Lord, seeing how the dark ages came upon that age, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Father,
yes, Lord,
how these things speak of our lives, of the work that was done in our lives, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
And many times we did not understand why we have to go through the things that we have gone through.
Yes,
but we have seen tonight, oh
yes,
God,
Lord.
How
yes,
the enemy is desiring to destroy the work that you started in us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, oh God, what dark times that we have been through, oh
yes,
Father.
Lord,
but
yes,
we are encouraged tonight, Father.
Amen.
Oh God, when we would see how at the end of those church ages, how the mighty God came down himself, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Father,
yes,
we are encouraged,
yes,
tonight, Father, that no matter the place that the enemy has taken us into,
yes,
no matter how dark it has been, oh God,
yes, Lord,
to the very depths of his work, oh Father.
Oh, Lord,
oh God, you are mighty and powerful.
Yes,
there is,
Lord,
no depth of the devil that you cannot bring us from.
Amen.
And Father,
yes,
we feel it in our hearts tonight, Lord,
yes, Lord,
that there is,
yes,
a season that is coming upon us, oh God.
Yes, God.
And Father, we are responding tonight, Father,
yes,
to that
God
season.
Yes,
it's
Lord
declaring in our souls,
yes,
that
Lord
you are doing a work, Lord,
yes,
even
Lord
though it's so much hidden in simplicity.
Yes,
but
Lord,
we see it, Lord, and we believe it.
Amen.
And we are calling upon you tonight, Father,
yes, Lord,
that you would have mercy upon us, oh God.
Amen.
Even as we repent, Lord, of our ways,
yes,
that we're not pleasing unto,
yes,
you,
Lord,
we pray you have mercy upon each,
yes,
brother, Lord.
Yes,
we pray,
Lord,
you have mercy upon each sister,
yes,
Lord, and help us to seek thy face, Lord.
Yes,
Lord, not to accept, Lord,
amen,
a substandard, Lord,
amen,
but to keep seeking, oh God.
Hallelujah.
Father, oh God, as it,
yes,
was
Lord,
even in the days of Joshua,
amen,
when he saw the enemy was on the run,
amen,
and he spoke and the sun stayed, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
May it stay for us, oh God,
yes, Lord,
until,
yes,
every,
Lord,
bug,
yes,
is,
Lord,
destroyed.
Hallelujah.
Until every work of the enemy,
yes,
is brought,
Lord,
to surface,
yes, Lord,
and destroyed, oh God.
Yes, Lord,
and then, Lord, you would move and bring,
yes,
once,
Lord,
more that,
oh,
perfect unity, that,
hallelujah,
perfect work,
yes,
that
Lord,
you want,
yes,
to do in us, oh Father.
Amen.
Lord, we,
yes,
desire,
Lord,
it, Lord,
yes,
no matter the cost, no matter the,
yes,
price.
Lord, yes, Lord,
Lord,
yes,
I'm willing to pay it, oh Father,
yes, Lord,
that I may,
Jesus,
be brought to that place, oh,
hallelujah,
Father.
Lord.
It's a despised way,
yes,
it's a narrow,
Lord,
way, Lord,
yes, Lord,
but to us it's everything, oh,
hallelujah,
Father. Lord, we want a restoration.
Hallelujah,
we want,
Lord,
you to do a work in,
yes,
us, oh Father.
Lord, yes,
and
Lord,
we call,
yes,
upon you tonight,
yes,
your precious name, Lord.
Hallelujah,
Father,
Lord,
we can't do it on our own,
no,
Father,
no,
but we are desiring that you come.
Yes,
Lord, we pray, Father, for every brother, every sister,
amen,
that is not here tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Please, Father, may you draw near to them this night,
please,
that when we meet with,
yes,
them tomorrow,
Lord,
we may be in one spirit, in one,
please,
accord.
Yes,
Father, that we may continue with this atmosphere,
mm-hmm,
and rout the enemy,
hallelujah,
and destroy,
Lord,
every bug.
Yes, Lord.
That when the time for communion would come,
yes,
oh God, how I desire to,
yes,
put my hands around my brothers,
oh, Lord,
and,
yes,
say to them how I love them.
Yes, Lord.
Please, Father,
hallelujah,
may you restore to us, Father,
yes,
that when we would come for communion, you will be there with us,
amen,
Father. That, Lord, it may be a complete work. It,
amen,
may be a complete Easter to us this,
please,
weekend.
Please,
we commit,
Lord,
it into your hands. It's,
yes,
your work,
Lord,
Father. It's not our work.
Hallelujah,
so we ask, Lord, that you take leadership of everything.
Please, Lord.
May you bless our,
yes,
brother Andrew.
Amen.
Continue to use him, Lord.
Peace, Lord.
Father, he has just declared war,
amen,
on the enemy.
Yes,
and
Lord,
he is a target to the enemy.
Hallelujah,
so we,
Lord,
commit him to you, that you protect,
please,
him.
Yes,
not,
Lord,
only him,
Jesus,
but every brother, every,
amen,
sister that is,
yes,
here,
Lord,
tonight.
Hallelujah.
Help us, Father. Keep us safe, Lord.
Yes,
help,
Lord,
us to continue meditating,
yes,
on this,
Lord,
word.
Yes,
to wake,
Lord,
up early and seek thy face,
yes,
in the morning. Lord, that when,
Lord,
we would come here,
so
it won't be the first time to speak,
amen,
to you tomorrow.
Yes,
but,
Lord,
we would have spoken with you already, Lord.
Amen.
Please, Father, may you grant us this grace.
Yes,
for it's,
Lord,
only by your grace, Lord.
Yes,
so we,
Lord,
commit ourselves,
yes,
to you.
Yes,
be,
Lord,
with us, O God.
Yes,
and may you give us, even as you gave to Samson, and once more, Lord.
Yes, Lord,
we,
Lord,
ask this in your precious name, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless, brother. Thanks so much, brother. Like Brother Will was praying, communion service tomorrow. Really looking forward to that. We come normal time tomorrow, normal service. We'll have an hour and a half break between, and then we'll go straight into communion service in the evening. So really looking forward to meeting you saints there by the grace of God. Let's sing one more as we dismiss. Please, Brother Vlad, if you don't mind. Right?
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe.
joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from every snare. If temptations round your gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, oh Lord. Joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy when His loving arms receive us and His songs our tongues implore. Precious name, oh how sweet, oh Lord. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus, bowing, falling prostrate at His feet. King of kings in heaven will crown Him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet,
hope of earth and the joy of heaven. Precious.